Okay, everybody, now let's go through the dietary recommendations for those who eat a standard American diet. So, we definitely want to get people as much as possible on a dietary plan right away, especially those that are on a standard American diet, because this diet is so poor that we can have pretty phenomenal changes right away and really help people get their trust in what we can do for them. We also want to get the progress while we're waiting for labs, and this goes for every client, right? It can be a big thing to be in this period, this waiting period between when they do their lab test and when they get the test back and have their first review, where they can feel sometimes we have clients report to us that they can feel sometimes that they're not doing anything, that they're just in this dead zone. So we really have worked in our clinic to spend a lot of time during this time period making sure we're coaching them, we're educating them, we're working on their diet, we're working on their lifestyle so that we can actually feel like they're doing something and we can help them gain progress while we're waiting for the labs. Now, with the standard American, with all people, and when it comes to a dietary perspective in particular, with the standard American diets type of individual, we really want to consider overwhelm. So occasionally there's people that are so overwhelmed by the testing process and just getting the test done that you actually will find that giving them dietary instructions during this time period will not be the best thing because it'll just overwhelm them. This is pretty easy to tell. The people that come to your office and have like a high degree of cognitive brain fog where they're just not thinking correctly. They might lose track of what they're saying when they are talking to you. They will be, more anxious. These types of people, those types of people, it's worth asking and telling them we would love to start on some diet and lifestyle things right away. You need to complete these tests. Do you feel like you can do both, or is it going to overwhelm you? And just ask them, and people are pretty tend to be pretty aware of if it's going to be too much for them. So in these few rare cases, we will not do any dietary recommendations during this time period just because of the number of lab tests we want to order for some of our really sick people. But most of the time, we're going to start dietary recommendations right away. Now, sometimes we as the doctors will do it, but typically we have our health coach start them on these dietary recommendations. We have our health coach meet with all of our clients, our new clients, within 1 week of joining our practice so that they can get coached on some of these things. Now, typically those eating a standard American diet will have a very different starting point than those who've already integrated healthy habits. Those with a standard American diet, we often find that they are there. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn already about hidden sources of gluten or what gluten even is. Most people know that, but every once in a while, there's still somebody that doesn't. As well as genetically modified foods and the importance of organic. So we definitely start with this particular population at a very, very different starting point than those who have already integrated healthy habits. We really want to work with the individual, however. So sometimes with the standard American diet people, we do find that they're highly motivated and they are able to do an elimination type of diet. So this type of, if we're going to start with the standard American diet, it really is going to depend upon the individual. So the first thing we're going to check out for these people or with these people is, can they do a dietary change at all while they're doing the labs? Is it going to overwhelm them? Is it going to be too much? But if it seems like it's not going to overwhelm them and they're willing to do dietary changes, then the next thing we want to do is tell them that, hey, we have a couple different options. We can do a very strict elimination diet, which does take a little more effort, but you will tend to get a lot better results faster. The elimination diet is really what I'm going to say now is really important. The elimination diet we are recommending for a period of max of 60 to 90 days. That's important for all people to know, but it's particularly important for those with the standard American diet kind of background to hear this because if we're going to do an elimination diet that's going to take away a lot of food and they know it's temporary, they know they're not going to do this diet for the rest of their life, then some of these people that are on the standard American diet will say, okay, yeah, I can do that. Others, once they hear about the diet, they will say, like, you know what, this is just, I'm not ready for this yet. Can we take this one step at a time? But throwing in that temporalness, that timeness, that people are going to only have to do this for a certain amount of time, is going to really make a big difference here. Okay, so that's what we do there. So we want to check in with the client to see if they have suggestions to make it attainable. And then we want to include information about how they can bring habits into their new life. So we're also going to talk about some of the habit change. So if they tell you've asked them about overwhelm, you've asked them if they can are ready for a dietary change, you tell them it's important, and they say yes, they can do a dietary change and do their labs, then the next step is really to work on the dietary recommendations and ask them if they're able to do the full elimination diet, which we'll go through in the next lesson here. And with that full elimination diet, it's going to be really important to make sure to tell them about, hey, the temporalness of this. I used the word timeness earlier, which is a funny word, but the timeliness is what I meant there, like the fact that it's only going to be a certain amount of time they're going to be on this particular diet. Okay, so the top things to get out first if they're going to do this particular diet, one is gluten. Now, some people ask, is gluten bad for everybody? And it's a little bit of a tricky question. Gluten is definitely a problem for most people and worth getting out of everybody's diet for at least a while. Some people do find that they have a level of resiliency where their body does not seem to be affected by gluten in the same type of way. But one of the biggest problems with gluten is that there's glyphosate used in the drying process with gluten, at least here in the States. And so the problem with glyphosates is that glyphosates cause all sorts of problems. We'll look at some research in a moment. But because glyphosates cause a ton of problems and gluten has glyphosate in it, just because glyphosates are used in the drying process, for those that you don't know, that glyphosates are one of the main problems with Roundup, is Roundup contains a lot of glyphosates in it, and that's what why genetically modified foods are typically causing so many problems for people. And while gluten is not genetically modified, the same ingredient that's in Roundup, this glyphosate, is used in the drying process for gluten. So we do want to, if we're going to do a standard American dietary recommendation and they're not willing to do the elimination diet, we do want to get gluten and processed sugars out first. And make sure to talk, especially to this group, about hidden sources of processed sugars, because a lot of them will not realize that their sugared cereal and their pastries actually do count as sugar. So in this group, we focus on the above first, and then if they're ready to add on more, then we typically get industrial seed oils out, like our canola, soy, corn, sunflower, safflower, and peanut. And then our GMO foods out. So this is kind of the order of what we remove. If they can do all four of these at one time, great. If they need to start at a different place, then just start with gluten and processed sugars, and that will already help them a lot. So this is one study. This study was looking at, it's an animal study, but it's looking at a few different problems with glyphosates. And so glyphosates, again, used in the drying process for gluten, so end up in the gluten products. In the States, glyphosates is basically, it shows an increased risk of a Clostridium botulinum infection in cattle. It's also basically increasing the ratio of the pathogenic bacteria to the commensal microbes, so the bad guys to some of our more normal guys, as far as microorganisms are concerned. And then we're also seeing that in celiac disease, where people are highly sensitive, there's a big difference in the microbiome makeup there. Another thing with gluten that we're seeing, and the glyphosates in particular, is that they're going to decrease the some of the digestive enzymes of the intestinal tract, and they're also going to cause a problem with the microvilli structure. And that's a big problem, one, because if we have our digestive enzymes that are decreasing, our digestive enzymes are helping us with digestion. So if they decrease, we're not going to be able to digest as well. Also, when we get a change in our microvilli structure, that is largely going to impact how we absorb food, right? How we absorb micronutrients. So basically, what we see is with glyphosates, we can get a decrease in the ability of our body to properly extract, break down food, and extract the nutrients and absorb them into the bloodstream. So again, for these people, we tend to not want to overwhelm them with too many things that are problems for individuals. We will discuss with them if they're ready for an elimination diet, and we will basically do that by telling them, motivating them by, this is going to get you so much, so many amazing results. You're going to get so much progress so quickly, and it's only going to be for 60 to 90 days. Do you think you can do it? And see where they're at. And if they're at ready for an elimination diet and they feel fired up, let's move them into that. But if they're not, then we want to get pop, we want to get sugar and gluten out. And we can even ask them if one of these two is easier to start and they want to start there, or if they're able to do both. Again, we want them to have success during this time period. So we want to push them to a level that's going to challenge them to improve, but we also want to push them to a level that they're feel capable of doing. The last thing we want to have happen is for them to get overwhelmed and throw in the towel. And so celiac.org is a good website for hidden gluten sources. And so just to be clear, I'm definitely not in any way suggesting that the only dietary things we want to do for this population is get out gluten and processed sugar, but just that sometimes for these people, depending upon where they're at in their own health and education knowledge, they may do better if we stage the change of their diet and do it one step at a time. And so it might be, okay, the first time we see them, we get out gluten and sugar. After that, we get out some of the industrial seed oils and we talk to them about no GMO foods. Then from there, we can start talking about, okay, how many grains are they actually eating in general and what are their macro ratios and those types of things. So you will see in a later module too, that we go through a module of how we talk to our clients about all the basics. So that's more, that particular module is maybe if you're working with if you're working with a health coach who's doing a lot of the education for you, or a nutritionist on your staff, and they're helping with some of those types of details. Those are just, it's just a list and a module we go through some of how to talk about the basics, how do we make sure we're moving people forward with their dietary plan and ideas of how to actually explain some of these things to your clientele. Okay, so from here, we're going to go on and we're going to go into a lot of information about how we actually recommend that you do an elimination diet. There's a bunch of different people talking online about how to do an elimination diet, and not all of this information is unfortunately very based in research or clinical data. It's just I don't know where people are pulling this information from exactly, but there's all sorts of misinformation online on the elimination diet. So we're going to talk from a research-based perspective more about what is the direction to go here with your clientele. All right, we'll see you then.